Welcome to This Week in FX PhD, your weekly wrap-up and behind the scenes at fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to This Week at FX PhD. Gemma, come with you, joined as always by Mike. How's it going, my friend?
It's going well. It's going well. It's funny, we were just joking before we started that the risk every week is that someone releases software just before we record the DOD and that, you know, there's like upgrade now button and you're just really tempted to press it. And I accidentally did it just half asleep at 6:30 in the morning on Skype. So I think it's all going to work, John, but I now have a newfangled Skype interface, which I wouldn't normally do. You did it last week, right, with the audio recording software?
Yeah, we use Audio Hijack, and they introduced a brand new look. It's actually a procedural graph, almost. It's a compositing flow graph, if you would, rife with bugs and changes, however. So, yeah, it's a good thing you're doing a backup recording. So I'm the guinea pig for this week. Hopefully this is all coming through okay for you guys. Sorry we didn't make a podcast last week. Mike and I were both really busy, had weird things going on in our respective cities and didn't get together. But we're back this week and hope everyone is enjoying the term and looking forward to the next one already, I guess.
Yeah, we are in the last straits. I have had just a ton of problems, not least of which I pranged my car and have not been able to drive. So that's been a nightmare. And then I've had an enormous number of release issues. I get background fundamentals and I try and make it as timely as possible. And the last minute, people go, we can't release that imagery and something. Well, we've recorded. Okay, sure, no problem. So I do apologize if I'm a bit late on background, but it's coming out tomorrow.
Pranging, that's not good.
That's a car accident that isn't fatal.
That is,
it's a, okay. It's a car accident where you, the terminology indicates that you did not hospitalize somebody.
A fender bender?
Yeah, that I've always thought that's a funny expression. It sounds like it's from, you know, World Championship Wrestling SmackDown. Yeah, fender bender is up against the Andre the Giant. Anyway, so yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah.
And on my side, frankly, a lot of the stuff has been computer related that I got stuck in a hellhole last week. Our my third time now on the Apple RAID card, third failure of our second RAID card in a Mac Pro Tower. So I think I'm just frankly done with a Mac Pro RAID card. I've spent what seemingly is days trying to resuscitate, trying to bring it back, trying to get it, but just will not start up with all three drives in it. Apple can't do anything about it, and so frustrating. So yeah, I got kind of caught in that because it's basically the system where we do a lot of backups and our LTO is based off of. So not the best system in the world to have go down, but luckily we do have the LTO hooked up to that. So I'd say 90% of our things are intact through our backup, as well as our backups in other locations. But oh man, just dealing with tech issues, Mike, like that, just one of the most soul-sucking things outside of the TSA in airport
security. Anyway, in other news, non-soul-sucking things from Apple. What do you think of the launch of the watch? I mean, we knew it was coming, right? But then you've got these super slick new, I guess videos. I was going to say they're not really Airs, but they look like Airs, right? The PowerBooks that have one plug.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think at the high end of the refresh, it's nice to see that they've updated the MacBook Pros, especially the ones with Retina displays with the newer chips. It's actually, I think, really hamstrung Apple, some of the delays that have happened from Intel in the past year. So it's good they've got those bumps. I mean, I actually think that the MacBook Pro Retina is one of the best computers ever made. For working on from an image quality standpoint, from a speed standpoint. I mean, it basically has the things I feel you need to do to get the job done. I'm talking, you know, some of the rendering stuff and it can be a bit problematic, especially if you don't have the NVIDIA chip in it. But I think they're great computers, so nice to see that refresh. MacBook Air, it's good. I'm actually going to get one of the new MacBooks myself because what I need a new computer for kind of traveling. I can't go with my MacBook and I can't go with just an iPad. I find that too limiting for some of the sysadmin stuff that we need to do and be aware of, Mike, the web stuff. It's just been tough traveling. And I think that this new MacBook is kind of a sensible approach for doing that, doing an occasional thing in Photoshop, Lightroom.
So does it mean just clarify this Premiere, for a second? You're going to get a 13-inch. You're not going to get a 15-inch. You're going to get a 13-inch.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to get the 12-inch MacBook. Just a straight MacBook, the new super thin.
Right. So you're going to have two computers
with the Core M. Yes.
So you'll have that and the other one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a better fit for me than I find. Again, weight to be an issue when traveling, and I find that the lack of a Retina display as well as the display resolution in the MacBook Air is limiting for me. I think the screen is too small for my purposes working on it, and that's where the 12-inch with a higher resolution, albeit a lower processor speed, will actually work for me in a lot of things that I would do while I'm on the road. I'm not saying I would take that to NAB or IBC or Seagraph, you know, to do editing and stuff that we do when we shoot.
But it would be better when you're bike
riding.
But for
some of the other traveling... Yes, but for some of the other things, whether it's a family trip, a short trip, or whatever, I think that, the new MacBook is ideal for me.
So the that new MacBook, is an i5. I wanted to ask you about this. So
no,
it's an i7.
No, it's actually Core M. It's called. So it's a different line of chips that's meant to be. More mobile friendly, lower power consumption. It does have a faster clock speed, but I did some
has slower clock speed
research,
right?
Yesterday. Slower, yes, yeah. But it does have Turbo Boost, so it will occasionally bump up in speed. But that's the reason, it's because it's Core M, it's a smaller, that's why they're able to do it without the fan, because it's not going to generate as much heat. The graphics card in there, the Intel chip, is also a bit weaker than the one in the MacBook Air as well. But it is some checking, and I know this is not a great analogy, but I mean, just as a frame of reference and processing speed, looking at my old computer from 6 years ago.
Yes.
Okay. 6 years ago, this processor is three times as fast as that processor was 5 to 6 years ago. So looking at my MacBook that I have, the one that's previous to this, this Core M chip in CPU benchmarks, actually a slower version of the chip that's in the new MacBook, is three times faster than the chip that was shipping the Core 2 Duo that was shipping in the MacBook Pro 5 to 6 years ago.
Yeah, I guess for me, there's a couple of issues. Like, I was hoping to only have to have one laptop because I don't think I want two. And I'm most worried that whatever I want will be on the other one. But I guess the other thing for me is that when I looked at the 13-inch line, the new 13 inches, I was a little disappointed because I could replace my laptop if, and it's a huge if, I could, you know, make the processor an i7. Okay, well, I can do that. Tick. I can go to 16 gig of RAM. Tick. Mm-hmm. I can go to... Wait a second. I can't... Oh, that's different. Oh, now. Yesterday, they didn't have an option to put a 1 terabyte flash storage in it. But today, there is. Well, there you go. So that's just changed my world. There you go. So I could do that if I could go to a 13-inch...
Retina? A 13-inch Retina?
Yeah.
Oh, a 13-inch Retina, yes. But not the 13-inch Air.
No, I'm talking about a Retina, yeah. Because I just want one computer, right?
Yeah.
No. And
yes, the 13-inch Retina, you can definitely do that.
And once I've got a bigger drive and a larger amount of RAM and a faster i7, that could be my my standard computer, as it were.
Yeah, because that will do everything that does that you need to do for work, whether it's editing or Photoshop or rendering.
It just has the smaller screen. I wonder, is that just something you just get used to, the 13-inch screen, I guess?
It's a smaller screen at a higher resolution. It's
Well, I have a Retina display now.
The same resolution
I have a 15-inch Retina now. But I have a 15-inch Retina now, so... Are you saying that even it's the same as my Retina now in terms of resolution?
The resolution I've seen you running it.
Yeah. Slap done.
No, yeah, because you do it. No. I'm just saying that you run it normally. You don't run it at the super, super, super high res normally. a step down. So you can certainly do that on the new 13-inch. So I think it's a good work machine. And okay. External monitor, too. You can hook it up to an external monitor, and you'd have the beefiness of it.
Just for those of you that are listening, I think John is lying when he says that I don't have it. I have it clicked to default for display. So just, you know, for those of you that are worried, I'm not, you know, got it in baby land. But anyway, that's another matter. So rather than go down this rat hole...
Yeah, I have it at more space.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what I was going to say is that it's really now for professionals in our industry mm-hmm. hard to imagine that you're going to want to buy a tower. So much of what we do with the pro type MacBook type stuff, or if you need to have a sort of a permanent setup, you do it with a second monitor. Or I've got to say, I would be thinking that iMac with a Retina 5K would be a marvelous station to have working sort of most of the time, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, especially now that some of the processing and those of you who are utilizing the Adobe Creative Cloud applications are much less dependent upon CUDA processing. I think that actually previously would strike things much in favor of whatever trash can, I guess you could say, because that's never yeah. had it. But that's just what I mean. It's less of an issue now. You know, obviously the Retina 15 inch is the only one that you can get with an NVIDIA card in it now, but that's less of an issue. I think probably for processing and raw processing speed, you're certainly going to be much better off with the Tower or the iMac 5K, especially if they would bump up. You're still kind of at the point I've heard in the iMac 5K where that resolution does become problematic because you're driving so many pixels.
Oh, really?
That's just pushing the edge of what that board can handle or what that chip can handle in that. And hopefully there'll be an update for that at some point soon. But it was pretty striking that we haven't seen an update in the Mac Pro. Boy, in how long? I mean,
yeah, it's a while.
Yeah, it's been some time. So I think Apple seems to be just seeding that need. If you need a machine that has multiple cards, things like that, you're going to have to, you know, you're going to be doing it on Windows or Linux in something like a box system or an HP.
Yeah, for somebody like Jim in our office, though, would not an iMac 5K for doing Premiere and
I think it'd be great.
It'd be a yeah. processing, creating quick times, the sort of stuff that listeners would be doing. That would be like,
yeah, for an individual, for someone who's doing that kind of stuff with the cloud. Yes, I think that would be. I think those are great. I've used it for that, and it seems quite speedy.
Right.
You know, there's a lot. There's some diminishing returns. The more procs you have. You know, that's a lot of the applications aren't going to utilize all those all the time anyway. But it would be cool to see a second Intel processor in there in the Retina 5K, you know?
Yeah. I guess the question is whether you could... I mean, it is a pretty big screen, that 27-inch. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you would benefit from having the smaller, I mean, that's a while, I think, since they updated the iMacs that aren't the Retina, but, you know, whether you could get a smaller screen one, like a 21-inch non-Retina iMac, and it's, you know, a bit less grunt, it's like, but whether it would be not driving that big graphics display and thus have a bit more room free for doing other things. I don't know, it's just so hard. There's always... sorry, go on.
Go ahead, sir. I was just going to say, there's actually something that I've learned, and I'm sure you have as well, though, in working with the 5K. I actually have been proofing many things on a normal monitor because it actually, images look quite a bit different when you're working with it on a Retina display. You know, something you feel is very sharp, or it doesn't necessarily always look the same way when you look at it on a standard monitor. You might actually need to do some, you know, contrast adjustments to get that parent sharpness back, or run it through sharpen filter. Just actually static graphics for the website or motion graphics actually look far different when you're looking at it on a Retina display versus a computer display. So that's another another thing to realize when you're working on the Retina, that can be kind of a bit fooling at times.
Actually, that was the other reason I had stopped short of buying one of those, is that it's an i5 chip. And I thought, I've just so sort of mentally gotten in my head that I would be wanting a i7. Do you have an opinion on that?
They have that as a built-to-order. Right. For another $250,
but would you do it?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of bumping up, especially that kind of from the i5 to the i7.
Yeah.
Makes sense for $250 more. Just extends the life, the way that we, unlike our MacBooks, which I personally feel I turn over pretty quickly, the workstations I hang on to much longer.
Yeah.
So. It makes sense to target that investment. So, I mean, from an aside standpoint, the announcements yesterday, not, dramatically pertinent to our industry, but
just going back to your display thing, because I wanted to segue into a thing we're coming out with on the Sony cameras, because we're talking a bit about non-FX PhD stuff today, guys, because we're obviously getting to the end of term, which we tend to do. But the Sony cameras, the FF7, the 55, mm-hmm. the F5 have a interesting chip fault that we've been hunting down with the Australian Cinematographer Society, and we just really got to the bottom of it yesterday. And so we recorded that, and we're going to output it. But it's a really, really weird problem with if you get a flare coming in from the side, you get a mm-hmm. kind of a checkerboardy pattern across the image in the flare area. Which now this all sort of, you'll have to see it in the video because we're going to put this out. But imagine that you've got a checkerboarding pattern that is like a lightening and a darkening across the screen that's very small. Mm-hmm. When you then grab the corner of the window that you're previewing on and scale it, because the scaling drops pixels to just do a really quick update, it becomes horrendously obvious. And you get this like massive kind of moiré pattern thing going. And then when you let go of the corner of the window that you're resizing the raw viewer on your Sony clips, it doesn't look quite so bad. But for the moment that it's happening, it would be enough to cause a client to freak out. And we've actually managed to get some bad examples of it that are baked in. It's harder to get a really bad example that's baked in. It's easier to get an example that will look bad in certain circumstances in post, but would probably not be a major issue on air. But also it's causing some flaring to happen that is magenta that would make you think it's a lens coating issue.
Right.
And in fact, it isn't. What we think it is to do with the CMOS chips in the... this is my theory, right? Because Sony agrees that there's a problem, but Sony won't tell us what it is. But imagine in the chips that you are looking at, say, a red chip. You know, we know it's got a CMOS... and it's standard at a fixed ISO, and it's got a fixed noise floor, and that's what it is, right? You can run the chip at different ISOs, but it's actually 800, and there you go. In the Sony, they actually have a run of little sensor-type light wells that are picking up noise and compensating as the chip gets hotter, because they come from an ENG background where you want to run these chips for really long times, as opposed to Red's background, which is to use chips that are sort of weren't necessarily designed. Even, I mean, Canon's case, Canon's chips are designed for stills cameras, and they weren't designed to run for an hour on constantly, right? And so as they get hotter, they obviously have more noise. And Sony's solution to this is they have this little tiny line of wells, and they are registering noise, and then they noise compensate sort of dynamically as the chip gets hotter. We think that the flare is getting under the dye filter and causing almost like shadowing across some of the pixels from the wells that are collecting the noise information. Now, they don't go into the picture. They can't be contributing to the picture, because why would you have the thing that's reading noise feeding into the picture? There's no reason, right? Mm-hmm. It adjusts, but it's physically there. And it looks like to me like that's what's happening. It's some kind of shadowing or refraction problem around that. And we are talking now at kind of very, very, very small sizes. So refraction is completely possible. And if you got just a hint of light that got refracted around in there, that could cause this kind of effect. It's just in the cameras, and it's in several different types of Sony cameras that have theoretically several different chips, except for that's how Sony make chips for their cameras. That's why I think that's what it is. Anyway, the point about mentioning this and the point about us doing it is we want to flag to people, because if you're in post and you see this, this is exactly the kind of thing that we want PhD members to be able to kind of go, okay, I know what that is. It's caused by this. It's a fault here. It's not this particular camera. It's this particular model. Or if you're at the pre-production meeting and someone says, hey, we're going to film a rock concert with tons of PAR 10s and just a stack of lights shoving down the lens, blah, blah, blah. Do you want to shoot this on the Sonys or on the Alexa? I'd be like, I'd go the Alexa, because you won't get that problem.
Right.
But yeah, it's that same thing that you're talking about, looking at something on a monitor. It's really quite dependent. And in this particular case, reviewing this fault, which isn't, you know, a horrendous fault. It's not like I would throw out the camera and declare that it's a useless piece of junk. But, you know, it's not easy to make this thing happen. But when it happens, it's quite upsetting. And I find... yeah, but you know what it's like in post? And I was having this discussion with Tom from the ACS, that when a problem like that happens in post, if you're the person in the room that can calmly say what it is, you can normally just move past it and work out what you're going to do. Maybe use a different shot, maybe whatever. If you don't know what it is and you think there's a camera fault or the files are faulty or there's a bug in the transcode, you could waste like half a day or a day trying to bug hunt what the hell it is, and you'd never easily find out what it is. And that can cause huge amounts of insecurity from a client that just feels like things aren't right and no one seems to know what's going on. And I just found that to be the very essence of what FX Guide and PhD is about, is if when we find out about these things, us bothering to run them through our lab, as it were, to work out what it is to keep you guys informed. So that's coming up. I'm going to probably put that in. I don't know. I'll probably put it in FX Guide, actually. I'll probably put it or in the FX PhD blog. But yeah, it's a. I was just interested when you were saying how you like looking at things that on the retina on a set, on a different display, because they do look different.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fascinating. It's a really good point, yours, about having that knowledge that frankly exudes confidence with your clients, because there's nothing that will make a client run away, it seems, than versus not having that confidence or lack of, you know, a bit of panic or uncertainty. Yeah, they're very astute at picking that up, and so anything that you can do to prevent that pays dividends long term. You're totally right. I've been in so many situations where if you handle it correctly, it's not a problem. If you don't handle it correctly, it becomes a problem.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is funny. It's people suddenly, you know, see stuff that they, you know, everything's going along swimmingly. Somebody sees an artifact, and then it's just all hell breaks loose until you can actually ascertain what the hell you just looked at. And if the answer is, I don't know, never seen that before, it's just a confidence killer.
Compared to, well, you know what that is? It's that, and it's caused by this, and you know what? We can do this to
and I can show
minimize
you.
Minimize that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a night and day difference. And I mean, yeah, think about going to a doctor, right?
Yeah.
You want that wishy response from a doctor? No. So it's cool. It's really interesting.
So I see this mark on the x-ray. I've not seen that before. What? Yeah, there seems to be some kind of mark on the x-ray in your lungs. I've never seen that before. I wonder what that is. Yes. Maybe it's a glitch with the x-ray. Maybe you have cancer. I'm not sure. We should have a look at that. What?
That's the analogy of where clients think it's brain surgery, what we're going through. You know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's it can feel that important to them.
Well, John, I need to chuff off, but it's been great talking to you.
Yes, good chatting to you.
Next week, we start getting close to the...
Are you getting a watch? Which watch? Are you going to actually go in the store and look?
Yeah. I really want one for the medical stuff. I use a Fitbit at the moment, but their user interface is really just... It's not syncing properly with my phone. I'm like, Fitbit, now is the worst time for you guys to do this. That it just, you know, literally it updates the tech, but doesn't update the graph. So it's like, you have only done 8,000 steps. What are you freaking kidding me? I've been walking all day. And then you're like, you look at the summary for the week and it's logged that you've done 15,000. And you go back to the front page and it's like, you've only done 8. And I'm like, no. If I've walked twice as far, you better bloody show it. Anyway, so yes, I'm definitely going for a watch. And I'm probably going to go for a mid-level one. I was thinking about going for a solid gold, $10,000. Maybe not. Because I think it clashes. I think I'm more of a silver guy. You know, if they'd had one in, you know, platinum,
I don't see you wearing
or
a gold.
Unobtainium, yeah. I would have totally gone for it. But in gold, yeah, that's, I don't think so. But yeah, you know.
Okay. And I know there's some members who have seen tweeting about it. If those members are interested in knowing when the new MacBook will actually be available for sale, drop me a line via email because I actually have a script running that checks the server every 5 minutes.
What?
Lets me know the coming soon is gone. So,
oh my God.
Drop me a line. And then just a final shout out. I know many of you have been are friends with Jeff Huser and know he's been going through some health issues. It was actually good to watch that event with him at home yesterday, and he's doing great. So he's making good progress. I know a lot of people have been asking about that. So we obviously, you know, you guys wish him the best. We do as too, too. But it was great to hang out and watch with him. And he is also, Mike, psyched to be ordering a new watch.
Okay.
Right. So thanks, guys, for taking time to listen. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.